my life is. And thanks for listening to that promo of me. Of course, that's my canned self. This is my real self speaking to you this evening. And I hope that you know, but you may not, what the show is about. Yes, this evening we're going to talk about the fairness of the universe. And a lot of people say, what's fairness got to do with it? Well, you see, the question that I always say is, whoever or whatever created the universe is the determining factor about whether it is fair or not. And if you think that you have an opinion about this, whether fair or otherwise, even at this early stage of the show, you can give us a call here. I got to get my phone number out. The funny thing is, I've just started doing this show on this station, and of course, I have another show that's kind of winding down in another station, and I have to remember all these phone numbers. Okay, 877-876-5227 in the U.S. And if you want to get a hold of me from Canada while I'm on the air here, 888-815-9756. Please call. And not only that, but even though I don't have a computer right now in front of me, I'm still working on that. Really, I am. If you want to get a hold of me either while I'm on the air or even off, try me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. Yeah, if you do it early enough in the show, someone will come running in here and says, yeah, you got an email while you're on the show, and they'll probably give it to me. I would hope so, anyway. I can't guarantee that, though. We'll see. We'll give it a shot. Certainly try the 800 numbers, though. That'll work real good, because then we can have dialogue. I love dialogue. Okay, now, today's show about the fairness of the universe. I guess the first question is the universe fair at all? Is there fairness? Is there such a thing, or is it random and chaotic and on and on? And let me give you some of my ideas about that. And the first is that the universe is, I'm going to say it just flat out, a darn fair place. It's really fair. Fair in the sense that what you give is what you get, what you take is what you don't get, and if you're in a position in reality and life where you can make the kind of choices that improves your life and that of other lives, and you choose to do so, that will result in eventual increases in how your life develops and how you co-create with that great being who I said is a fair being and created the universe. That's my opinion now. Now I'm going to tell you why. Why is very important because it answers concepts. It tells people how you really think about things, and it can be tested. Whys can be tested. Opinions cannot be tested, but whys can be tested. You know, you can check out the whys, I'd say, to find out whether or not they make sense in your world, and you can check them out by thinking back over time to circumstances to see if they come out to be true. And you can set up experiments in the future and to see if they will come out the way I suggest that they are. And why is the universe fair? Well, to begin with, the universe appears to be fair from my perspective for this why. The creator of our universe, the being that I believe created everything within our universe to begin with, and then set it up so that life itself is its own growth and creates itself. Life creates itself. So the universe was created by a creative being who then says, hey, I got a system so that life can go on creating itself, and if it chooses, it can create more of me. This being did so in a way which was incredibly self-sacrificial, meaning that it gave up a good part of what it was to some extent, not all of what it was, but a good part of it, a large part of it, because it wanted all of the rest of the universe, which, again, is composed in the majority of cases of life itself. It wanted this life to be free to grow and free to develop itself and eventually to become as great or greater than it was at that moment. Now, think about that. This is a being who has the choice to hold on to everything and say, ah, well, I won't be fair. I'm going to just keep it all for me because, what the heck, I'm the thing that's really important. I'm the thing that makes a difference, and that's all that really matters. Or, instead, it appears, based upon what I've seen, that it said, hey, I want what I originally create to go on to be able to create more of itself, and if it chooses to, to create more of me. Now, that is a very, very fair being. You might even say that that is a being that puts what it creates before itself. Think about that. I'm going to say it again. The creator of our universe put what it created before itself, not after, instead of after or as an irrelevant issue. Now, to me, fairness then is, without question, a part of this being's greatness. Tremendous, tremendous part. And so I hope that why right there gives you something. You say, ooh, that's important. And then you might say, well, okay, then how come, why would a being want to do that? What is it? If it's not getting something, really, it's not even, in a sense, not even treating itself fair. Why would it be doing this? And the answer is very, very interesting. I think you could probably answer this if you have children. For the rest of us, it may be a little bit more difficult. And that is that we are the prodigy. We are the ones that not only help to grow and in many ways give great gratitude for the growth from our Creator, but the important thing is that we are really what the Creator seeks to gain meaning, additional meaning from its own existence in. And just as people who have children have the same kind of response. And you know, there's a very big correspondence issue here. Human beings, particularly true of this, but lower forms of life, you certainly can see it there as well. A mother protecting its offspring in many kinds of life forms, and not all, is a common thing. Why is that so? And sometimes the father is involved, not always in all life forms, but certainly in humans it is. And so the interesting part about this is that the meaning of existence is greatly dependent upon the beginning development of things like prodigy. Eventually, it goes to much more than that. It eventually comes into its own flowering to be all of life itself. All life is our prodigy. It takes a while for our consciousnesses to grow to that level where we treat all of life like we do our children. And it's a good thing, by the way, to reach that point. I'm not saying that everybody is at that point, and I'm not saying that we will all get there in this lifetime. May not. But that's something to consider, something to think about. And that's how fairness enters into a universe. That's the very beginning point, because it's really not any different than our own, we'll say, gut-level experiences. Now, I don't want to put God or the Creator exactly at our level, but there's certainly a correspondence there. We can see the connection. We can tell about it better than any kind of life lower than our own. We know better. Isn't that wonderful that we do? Because it gives us something that other lower forms of life may not have, and that is this greater connection we have with God. We can sense God better, and we can understand God better. And we can recognize it both in ourselves and elsewhere. Whoa. Think about that. Big ideas, I guess. Oh, I wanted to mention this evening, this is kind of an aside, been mucking around with this Mackie soundboard and another thing called a Telos machine. I think I got them better. You may hear some occasional things that sound strange, but I think that so far it's working a bit better. And let me know if I sound better tonight than I have in the past. Last week I heard I sounded terrible, and I feel badly about that. I sounded like I had a nasal thing going on or whatever. And it had to do with the settings. I've called the people who make this equipment and tried to work it out with them. Turns out that nobody really knows how the two things work together. The Telos people don't seem to understand how the Mackie board works exactly, and vice versa. So just eventually, although they got me closer, eventually it just turned out I just had to go ahead and start mucking around on my own and figured out a little bit more about it. But hopefully it's sounding good. And if I sound clearer today, sound more like, you know, I don't have some kind of nasal problem or whatever going on, then that's the reason why. Okay, now back to the question of fairness. Is fairness really critical? Is it important that fairness be part of our experience? And let me tell you why I think it is not only super important, it may be the most important thing for us to experience. Because if we, any one of us, experiences a universe in which the universe is not fair, we ultimately will decide that the universe is without God. And that's a bad deal. Because a universe without a creator is a random, chaotic universe in which our own existence is very frail and fragile and may have no meaning. True negative existentialism. I mean, seriously bad. Because a universe like that that people become convinced of is one in which they respond in defiance and rebelliousness. They respond with darkness and sometimes evil because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they do, because anything that they might do is not going to significantly alter, if at all, the results of their life. That is doesn't sound good to me. So really, if we were to become convinced that the universe is like unfair, or fairness is not even a relative issue, it doesn't mean anything, not a relevant issue, I should say, it doesn't mean anything, well, then we got problems. We got big problems. And so hopefully this tonight's show will help those who have that sense. And if you do, give me a call. I mean, right now, give me a call, because I honestly want to talk to you about it. Even if you think you're right, that's okay. I don't mind, you know, and you think I'm crazy, you know. Universe, just random crazy stuff. What are you talking about? That's okay. That's all right. And I won't try to force you to think otherwise, but I would like to talk about it. At any rate, it's really critical, I think, that over the long run, we as humans, especially in this world, come to the conclusion that the universe is fair. But then the question becomes, and I'm going to pose some of these questions, since nobody's called in to pose them yet. Well, what about these natural catastrophes? What about when hundreds of thousands or millions of people die? What happens then? And what happens when people suffer seemingly without reason? Darfur. What's going on in that part of it's crazy, crazy stuff. What if, you know, people getting their hands cut off, their arms cut off, or because they happen to live in a village someplace? I mean, none of this makes any sense, it seems like. Does that seem fair? Does it seem fair that children die of terrible diseases before they even know their name? Does it seem fair that 1,000 people die in some a terrible calamity, maybe natural or man-made of some sort? Does it seem fair that there are terrorists running around wanting to kill us? I mean, is this all fair? Does that make sense in terms of the doctrine of fairness? Well, there's an answer for all that. But I'm not going to tell you that answer quite yet. I'm just going to kind of lead you up to it, you know, till the next break, and then you'll wait 2.5 minutes and come back and hopefully think about it. But before I give you the answer to that, let me pose a couple questions for all of you out there. If these things are fair in some respects, then, or all respects, then is there such a thing as the opposite? In other words, you know, does somebody enjoy some unusual good things happen when they don't seem to deserve it? In other words, could there be like the world's worst murderer ends up winning the lottery and living on, you know, and having a great time and becomes exonerated of all the, et cetera. Is that possible? And how would that fit in with the other side? And it seems very confusing, doesn't it? Certainly, if I haven't before this confused you, you're probably confused at this point, because I pose these questions deliberately to get you to think. Because part of this show is to do that. It's to get you to think. Really, honestly, I want you to think. I know that sounds hard to believe. Most people don't want people to think. They just want to tell them what to do, and that's it. You either do it or not, and that's the end of it. No. I'd like you to think. Thinking is very good. And while you're thinking, you can listen to the next 2.5 minutes of commercials, and then we will be back to talk more, and I will give you some of my thoughts about the questions I just posed. We'll be back in about 2.5 minutes.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Yes, we're back. This is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. I hope you had some moments there to think about those questions I posed. Oh, sly of me, isn't it? To get you to think during the commercials, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, let me tell you something. First of all, this is a very difficult subject. So if you don't completely follow it immediately, give me a call and or hang in there. Because it's the answers to the questions that I posed are not that easy to explain. They are explicable, but they aren't that easy. And that's the problem. That's why people get confused and think the universe is just random and there's no fairness and there's no God and there's no nothing. Because it isn't so obvious when you first look at the issues that I brought up. Let's talk about how come bad things happen to good people, seemingly. And how come lots of people can have bad things happen to them who don't seem to even have much in common? And how come huge numbers of people can be suffering and destroyed due to calamities and human interactions and terrible things like that. Well, the answer is going to sound like a cop-out to begin with, but it's not, because I'll explain it. It's called, are you ready for this? Karma. Karma, yeah. Now, karma is not what most people think it is. But most people think of karma as like a punishment for having done something bad. You know, oh, I did something bad, so now the great being in the sky is throwing out a lightning bolt and it's going to fry me up or do something else terrible to me. That isn't how karma works at all. As a matter of fact, there's absolutely no relationship between those two ideas that I just said. Actually, karma is something more elemental in a sense, more directly connected to us alone. And that is that it connects time and space together, but, and this is going to sound redundant, it takes time for it to do that. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that for every effect that takes place to any of us, there was an originating cause. The problem is that the causes can be lifetimes ago. It could be certainly last week or last month or last year, but in many cases, or some cases, it could be even lifetimes ago. Now, that's a problem, because I don't remember many lifetimes ago and a lot of specifics, and most people remember almost nothing about lifetimes ago. So then how do you know the karma that's going on, if it came from that far long ago, or even if it was years ago in the same life, how does that do anything for us? And what does that mean? And here's the answers. The answer is that although it is important for us to be as conscious as possible, because we choose to be selfish, we lose the ability to be conscious. And we lose the ability to understand the effects that come from causes that we created either in this lifetime or in prior lifetimes. What I'm telling you is that if you led a very unselfish life, you would know that how every effect that ever is going to happen to you, much less is happening to you, connects to a cause that you or a prior incarnation of yourself created. Yeah, tell me that isn't remarkable. Doesn't that do something? Yeah, it's a very strange thing, because for most people they would say, well, that's kind of nebulous then. Well, it isn't. All I'm saying is that it's a lack of our own consciousness, the fact that we can't understand the connections between the effects and causes in our lives, that leads us to this disconnect and leads us to the problem that lifetimes ago we have no memory of, much less an understanding of. And even within our own life, people frequently do not understand the effects that come from causes earlier in their life. That could be a week earlier, or it could be years, decades earlier. What determines that, you might say? Now, this is another strange thing. Are you ready for this? Okay. The more conscious a person is, more conscious, the quicker the effect joins with the cause, and the faster karma seems to come about. Now, doesn't that sound odd? But that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth here. This is based upon physics. It's not so much about like, oh, well, someone's decided to do it that way just to give us a trickery or something. No. It has to do with physics and how time and space rejoin together. Consciousness itself causes time and space to rejoin. The higher your consciousness, the more time and space rejoins. That's a good thing. Except it causes karma to move faster. So people who are like in this interim period where they start really becoming more spiritual and trying to live more spiritually and create more virtue in their lives accelerate their karma And if they don't keep growing in consciousness, you can't stay static in this whole formula. If they don't keep growing, then the karma can hit them before they can do something, which I'll explain in a few minutes, to change the effects of their karma. And the results can be that they think the universe is unfair. It seems that way. I mean, I've been working on myself. I'm finally creating more virtue. And now I have more negative karma to deal with. Yeah, it doesn't sound fair at all. Well, it only is the illusion of not understanding that the growth of consciousness is a critical factor in this whole formula. And a person has to grow their consciousness unusually rapidly, in an increasing rate, once they start down that path of choosing to do so in the first place. It's not so easy to do, and for some people, they're inconsistent and they fail at times. The inconsistency can lead to the karma, the negative karma, coming out as a forceful outcome, as an effect from a prior cause in which a person was selfish. All right. So, that is one of the problems. That is one of the issues behind a lot of the factors that people say, well, it seems unfair that bad things are happening to apparently good people. And someone who may even be trying to do good experiences these more negative consequences, particularly as at the beginning of their spiritual development, because they are less consistent. And consistency in growth, meaning actually an increase in growth on a consistent level, is required to stay out of the booby trap and the problems of karma. All right, now, if we grow our consciousness at an increasing rate and we're able to maintain that fairly consistently, then every negative effect that comes from a selfishly imposed cause will be offset or changed through our spiritual works and service. We won't even know it. We won't even know we have bad karma because the effects become opportunities for us to serve others. And since our focus is so much out on others, the karma comes, it goes, and we just say, oh, what another great opportunity I just had to serve others. That's what happens. And that's a good thing because that leads to a tremendous amount of more meaning in life. And meaning is the reward for doing good. You want to get meaning, you got to do good. You want to have goodness in your life, then you're going to need to make changes in yourself if you aren't doing those things. So it's really about choices that we each make. And it's really wonderful. And it gives us tremendous opportunities to improve and to become something greater than who we are. Now, what about large numbers of people? A whole airplane full of people. 300 people on one of those jumbo jets. Goes down. You know? Could be a human intervention. Maybe somebody put a bomb on the plane. Or maybe it was just a bolt of lightning. Came out of nowhere and yip, took the plane down. Everybody in the plane dies. They die 35,000 feet. Gone. Does that seem fair? And how could it be fair for everybody that's on the plane? How does that make sense? And how does this karma thing fill into that? Well, I know this is going to sound really hard to believe, but there is an explanation for it. There really is. And the explanation is this. Everybody who's on that plane that dies has a reason for going on to the next world at that time. The reasons are not necessarily bad reasons. Some people die for very good reasons. Sometimes the work they're done is finished here, and what they can do better is really more appropriate in the next world, which has to do more with the astral nature and astral body. They'll think of it as emotions, but not really. And so for some of those people, it's not a bad thing at all. Some of the people might suffer a great deal more if they didn't die at that time. How come? Well, they're about to come down with a very serious disease or have other natural calamities go on that won't kill them necessarily. And so leaving this world is not a terrible thing for them. What else? Some people need to bring about change through their death, through family situations and friends who may mourn their death or have to work out conflicts among themselves over their death. That's more important than they're going on to live. And there's a million other reasons. The point I'm trying to get at is that one of those million other reasons fits everybody on that plane. And that's what's so hard for us to understand, is that the universe can be so fair and so amazingly fair that 100% of the people on the plane, all for one reason or another, needed to die together at that time. Now, the together part, that's going to be another little wrinkle. But the point is that they all needed to go at that time. Isn't that fascinating? Amazing stuff here. Okay, now what about them going together? What has that got to do with anything? Well, sometimes, especially in these kinds of unusual disasters, the people share something that they will actually have in common when they cross over. And so it is not just random. No, there are actual factors that will bring them closer together and allow them to be work together more in the next world. They need that maybe as a start, something as a momentum to get them going, not because they knew each other beforehand, but because they need something that unifies them in some way. The same is true about a natural catastrophe, a tsunami, that those people may not know each other at all. They may be thousands of miles apart from each other because the tsunami goes across the large area of the ocean, right? But they still have something in common when they get to the other side. They died as a result of the same calamity, which may cause them to work together more when they reach the other side. And it also may link them together in other more common ways that we don't understand from our perspective. There's a lot more to talk about in this category. So when we look at these issues, because of our lack of understanding, again, it's our lack of consciousness, we can't see the connections. And it's the lack of those connections that causes us to, again, say, well, it's just all random. There's no fairness. It doesn't matter. Therefore, there's no God. Or if there is a God, it's an unfair God. And who wants a God like that anyway? You know? This is one of the problems. Now, you might say, well, if God really wants people to believe that the universe is fair, why does God make it so hard for us to understand it? And that's a good question. It's a valid question. And the answer, again, I'm going to tease you with it. The answer, it begins with this idea that those things that really bring about great changes in meaning in life, such as the universe really is fair, and God wants it to be fair for all the reasons that we talked about earlier, that is something best appreciated when it's earned through the development of consciousness as well as intellect. And it is not appreciated if it's easy. It's something best and most effective when it is truly developed by a person striving to become something much greater. And unfortunately, it happens to be the nature mostly of humans that this is true in. We're quirky beings, you know. We tend to value those things less that come to us too easily. Now, I said that this is kind of a challenging question because I want you to think about that. I'll tell you this. One thing I discovered, I sometimes give books away on occasion. But I found that in general, some of the books, you know, that I've written, articles, et cetera, if I give them away too randomly, just to anybody, et cetera, they don't get read. People don't appreciate them because they got them too easily. Honestly, it's true. Amazingly. There's actually almost an inverse proportion, except with some people. Now, if I've given you a book, it's because I think you're really going to read it. I could be wrong, of course. But with most people, I have found that giving them books, even though, you know, you could say, well, it's a nice, generous offer, etc., doesn't seem to help them to read it. You know, and it's amazing. It's just the opposite. Well, I want you to think about that and think about more of what I have suggested here. And when we come back, we will cover this subject even further. And again, we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes or so after this break.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Well, we're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And I think we had a few seconds there of not quite being on air right at the moment of the commercial break. If that happened to you, I'm sorry. But this is live radio, you know. And also, I'm in a remote location away from where the station is. So sometimes that can happen. But bear with us. We're going to get this all straightened out, hopefully. And now, where did I leave you? I think I left you with the pondering of the idea that the process of, we'll call it fairness in our universe, is affected by a very complex thing called karma, and it involves more than just the karma of an individual, but also karma of groups, karma of nations, and the karma of an entire planet or world. So that's where it gets really dicey, because sometimes it isn't related. It's not related to what an individual does, but who and what that individual connects her or himself to as their choices in life. And that's a strange thing. And some of those choices are even made by our soul prior to the personal incarnation. So some of us may choose to get born in a wayward nation, maybe in Africa, where terrible things are happening, and we will suffer the consequences of that. And you might say, well, why would the soul want to do that? Well, because maybe we did some terrible things in a prior lifetime, and there is some benefit towards our death to encourage the whole world to become concerned about the terrible atrocities that are taking place by other humans who are doing terrible things that aren't maybe too different from what we had done in a prior lifetime. It's complicated, isn't it? Yes. And it's due to this complication and these intricacies of time and space that it's so frustrating for us to really come to clear understanding of how things really are fair. And that's what I'm hoping to show you tonight, that if you can expand your mind and invent reasons for why things are happening when they seem unfair, you might eventually strike on not the absolute truth, but at least a good enough understanding so that you don't believe that the universe is random and just nonsense. And that's important, because to go down that road can lead to virtual spiritual destruction and even a life of potentially evil. Yes, it's possible. Evil people are people who usually are intelligent but not conscious. Now, what is the difference between those two ideas? Intelligence is the ability to know about. Knowledge is, it means you can explain, you can define, you can reason something. But consciousness is the ability to understand and connect. Consciousness takes knowledge and connects it to many, many other things besides what the knowledge originally was itself connected from and to. This is so important to understand these differences. Consciousness comes from our ability to expand who we are into other things beyond ourself. Knowledge does not do that for us. Evil people, generally speaking, are fairly intelligent. They say, they think about things, and they say, well, my knowledge doesn't tell me that there is any way at all, that this could be connected to that. But that's because they're not conscious. They just have knowledge. And the other part of the equation is awareness. Awareness is information that comes in and knowledge is built on. Some knowledge is false. It comes from, unfortunately, awareness or information that is very incomplete. Oftentimes because our senses themselves are damaged by our own selfishness, and retained energy in the senses causes us to get misinformation. Not a good thing. The odd thing about that is that in reverse, consciousness is an amazing tool, and as it grows in a person, that person begins to be able to exceed their level of knowledge. They, instead of having to know everything, are much more capable of being a creator and of being able to apply the knowledge they already have in greater and greater ways. Now, it doesn't mean they shouldn't have knowledge. But the other thing that's really interesting about consciousness is that as long as a person attempts to grow their consciousness, even if their senses are not working at 100%, and most of us are not, they still can do so. And they can do so in ways that are very effective in bringing both meaning to their lives and to others. But knowledge, that doesn't work that way. You get misinformation that you convert into lousy knowledge, and the results are disastrous. Instead of meaning in life, you end up with a bunch of nonsense. So, you see, these two really do diverge from each other, although they can support each other, and they have a lot of connections, provided that both are applied in a circumstance. Very important to do that. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about other elements of fairness in the universe. What else is fair in the universe? Well, someone a few days ago that I'm fairly close with and knowledgeable about was talking about the question of infinity. Infinity. I like that word, infinity. And the word infinity may be the single most important word in the entire universe. Yeah, because with it, it guarantees that the universe is fair and has with it a meaningful outcome in virtually in all circumstances, a meaningful outcome. But if you don't have infinity, in other words, if there isn't an infinite number of things that can be done, if there isn't an infinite number of possibilities, I call it, and if there is a beginning and end to things, meaning that there's no infinity, if you think about it, a beginning and end means there certainly is no infinity, then you got a big problem. Because ultimately, no matter how many things there are, and no matter how long you might exist in the world and the universe, it's going to end. And it means that ultimately the meaning in life collapses as one approaches and eventually achieves, quote unquote, ending. Infinity means there's no end. It technically also means there's no beginning. And so, from a perspective of what is presently known, in physics particularly, infinity does exist. It needs to exist for the universe to exist. Of course, that's another show and another day when I explain that concept. But with it, it allows fairness. It allows that it makes sense that the more you create of your creator, the more you create of yourself into your creator and become greater and greater, there is no end to it. You don't get rewarded by being bumped off or by suffering immensely at some future time and by there being a meaningless existence at the end of meaning. Because that's what a lack of infinity would mean, or a finiteness would mean, I guess the best way to put it. That's a terrible idea. So infinity is a wonderful thing because it guarantees this amazingly open structure, not just in our universe, by the way, but in all universes. Yes, I'm saying there are more than one universe. There is more than one universe, and there are many universes, and those universes continue to grow, and the growth of universes themselves continues endlessly into infinity. Now, I'm going to throw a little wrinkle into some of my friends out there who are physicists, and those of you who probably are into quantum mechanics or certain other kinds of physics, you might think, some of you, that there are parallel universes that exist within our own universe. Sorry, don't agree with that. Tell you why. Although there's an infinite number of potential universes and an infinite number of possibilities in every universe, before the beginning of any universe, a universe is constructed by a being that came out of the infinite possibilities and created itself, which is another show and another time, and produced a universe that it decided, it made decisions on, would limit the universe by its own choices, but still provide freedom for all the living things that it wanted to have in its universe that helped to grow it and to grow themselves. So the interesting part of this is that within our universe, there can't be other parallel universes because it would defeat the very concept of there being a creator or God. And as a matter of fact, that is the primary reason why I am convinced that there are no parallel universes within our universe. There are no other universes that have different things going on them within our universe because the creator of our universe has forestalled or prevented that from taking place by its own choices. Its own choices made it so that wouldn't be the case, so that specific things that it did want to take place would, including its own mind and how that mind interacts with its own creations, which is life itself, and on and on. And it also allows life to do the same. Think about this. There are some people, I had a guest on my show, I won't name names right now, who actually believed, this was on my other show on KXAM, doing the last version of that show tomorrow at 12 noon Phoenix time. Please go ahead and call in, and if you want, listen to it on KXAM.com. But the interesting thing is that this fellow, who is a very well-known physicist, he really believes in parallel universes, which is okay. I don't mind. But he minded that I didn't. It's okay. I don't mind that either, except he kind of made himself look kind of silly doing that. But, you know, the thing is that if you really get into this belief that there are parallel universes that somehow we're bumping around and some of us are flipping from one to the next, eventually life has no meaning. Because who in the heck knows? The next second you might be in another parallel universe where things are taking place differently and you couldn't remember the last universe you were in, so you don't even know that the... I mean, it gets very nutty. It gets very nutty. It brings life into pure chaos and nuttiness. And it makes the very idea of God and souls, et cetera, kind of thin, almost like, who cares? So what if there's a God? It doesn't matter anyway. That's the problem. I wanted to tell this fellow about that, but he kept talking. Didn't want me to talk. Didn't want me to say anything that countered what he thought. So I let him do that. By the way, if you want to listen to that show, you can go to agelesswisdom.com. I can't really tell you the name of the show without giving the name of the guy, but I'll tell you what, you just look for a show that deals with physics and physicists, and I think you'll pick up on who it was. And you can listen to him. But the thing is about that is that you know, in a weird way, this poor fellow was so egotistical and arrogant because he couldn't find meaning in his own life. Isn't that interesting? And when you can't do that, you become, in many ways, a victim of your own negative thinking. And you don't want to be challenged by other people, and you're not open-minded, and freedom goes down the tubes and thought, and it's a lot of bad things can happen. And in a weird way, he was an exemplifier of that. So, you know, when we examine all the things that I've brought up so far, to me the fascinating part about there being fairness in the universe is that it, as you examine it in deeper and deeper ways, it becomes more and more clear that the universe is incredibly fair. And I'm going to tell you some more. Because I'm going a little bit beyond the end of the show tonight because we don't have another show following us. And the manager of the station told me a little bit ago, he said, it'll go a little longer. So I'm going a little longer. What the heck? And again, if you want to call in, please do. We still got time. I'll stay on for a little bit more. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you some other interesting ideas about fairness and how it is affecting all of us. The ideas of where and how we treat one another and the ideas involved in the construction of most societies, I'm not talking about the Nazis or something like that. That could be a little different than your typical. But in most circumstances for human beings, fairness has always been related to the projection of ourselves in reverse, so to speak, in relationship to others. And so we want fairness because we want to be treated fairly. And most people find it extremely difficult to live in circumstances where they are being, by subjugation or other issues, treated unfairly. Think about it in yourself. When have you become most upset about something that's happening? Well, because you're being treated unfairly, right? That seems to be a big issue to us. And let me tell you this. Human beings get that. They get that idea because they can sense directly their creator, and lower forms of animals do not do so and therefore are not as upset by unfairness. I'm not saying they're not upset by unfairness, but not as much as human beings. Because we directly sense our creator and know that fairness is supposed to be part of existence. We know that. We feel it, we believe it, and we want to live it. Although sometimes we don't do it in reverse with others, we don't give fairness to others. And I'm going to talk about that maybe for the next 10 or more minutes here. But you see, this is one of the things that makes us so special, is that we have these extra senses called the heart and crown chakra, fully informed by consciousness, and it tells us what our creator is actually like and how we can create more of our creator. And one of the things that's very important to us is that we be treated fairly, and eventually, although not immediately in our development, it becomes important that we treat others fairly. That becomes part of the process, part of this process of understanding the fairness of the universe. I'll tell you something else. When anyone does not treat others fairly, when they attempt to gain through manipulation, control, power, forces, whatever, the results can be devastating on them. Why? Because they lose contact with that critical element that gives life meaning. They start becoming convinced that as they treat others unfairly, life is unfair. And so they become paranoid, they become resentful, and eventually they lose meaning in life. Tell me that isn't an immediate kickback and bad karma for treating others unfairly. It really is. It literally eats away at a person's soul. Not the soul itself, but the connection between the personality and soul kind of like diminishes because of this issue. So it's a great thing to have a sense of fairness and to develop it in life, because you get an immediate reward in doing it that you cannot get if you don't attempt to treat others in a fair way. Now, does that mean that you should just wantonly give to others regardless of what they do, etc.? No. Because that isn't fair. It would be fair to treat others in ways that helps them to become more fair themselves. And if you give to others when they don't deserve to be given to, when they're doing negative things, hostile things, bad things, and they refuse to change, well, then at that point, the best thing is to give them a swift kick in the butt and say, get out of here. Because you're dealing with someone or some group of people who are not treating others fairly, and they don't realize it. They don't recognize it. They're not using those senses that I talked about correctly, or maybe at all. Who knows? You don't know. But that's what's going on. And so the universe is amazingly fair, amazing in the sense that it supports us in developing meaning in life. It helps us to find when we are not being fair, and it helps us to discover potentially ways to change. It helps others to see fairness in us and in themselves. It gives everyone an opportunity to grow in this perspective, and it allows societies in general to become more and more fair. Now, do all societies actually achieve this? Unfortunately, it depends on the leadership of the society. In my opinion, no. Of course, I'm going to own this one. The leadership in the United States does not appreciate some of the concepts that I'm talking about. They seek for others to be free, but they do not understand the principles of fairness because they do not believe that others have a right to disagree with them, and others have a right to find their means of truth through their own experiences, etc. We have, unfortunately, grown in some respects heavy-handed and forceful, which always reduces fairness. So there is a lack of fairness presently in our country, not just because of our present administration. It's been developing over time, and it comes from people having single issues that they believe are more important than the general big issues of creating more virtue in life. So in other words, like, well, it's more important to me that we don't kill any embryos. So I don't care if we have a few people who are forcing others to think their way and do whatever they want and be arbitrary. I just don't want to kill any of those embryos. Well, you know, killing embryos, good, bad, indifferent, there may be some things that we really have to look at that are bigger than that issue. That is a maybe for some people a very big issue, but I venture to guess that ignoring the principles of being virtuous in general for the sake of a single issue is never a good thing. It leads to some extremely narrow-mindedness and some very bad karma on a national scale. You know, remember I talked about we share karma nationally because we're all choosing one way or another to live here, and we want to be part of this great country that we're in. But there's some fairness things that are not quite working out. Also, is it fair that some people sometimes are accused of doing things that aren't right? You know, they didn't do it, or they didn't do it the way it was said it was being done, and they maybe are prosecuted for the wrong things or whatever. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. And unfortunately, our present system of justice is not modeled on fairness. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's not. It should be. I would think so. But if you talk to some people who are fairly astute in law, they'll tell you that it isn't modeled upon that. Justice should be fair. It makes sense. Makes sense to me. I think it makes sense to most people. Now, the question is, what is justice in our country? I'm talking about the United States now, for those of you who don't know that, because, of course, this goes all over the world. But in the United States, at the present time, justice is based upon either equity or it's based upon law. And in both of those cases, it may have nothing to do with what's fair. In the case of equity, what may seem to be equitable on the surface is incredibly unfair. And in the case of law, law seldom has anything to do with fairness, and it may have nothing to do with equity as well. It literally has to do with what is most convenient and best for society on an average. Ooh, that's kind of scary. That sounds like that's getting pretty close to those Nazis. But that's the truth. I'm telling you how it is. I mean, if you're going to law school, you know that what I just said is likely true. That's the way it is in this country. Now, there's some countries where this is not necessarily the case, and there have been times in history, maybe even prehistory, when it hasn't been the case. But I'm just talking about how we deal with it in the United States and also in many other countries that somewhat resemble our systems. Some countries have no resemblance to our systems, and they may have a totally different idea about all this. So how do you develop systems of government and law and societies that is fair, that doesn't have to pay so much attention to equity or to what is good for the average good of society, like society is more important than people, you know. Well, the way to do it, unfortunately, has to do with changing a lot of our system presently of government. You see, our present system of government is codified and relies a great deal on what has taken place before in courts and what has been written down. Some of that makes sense. It really, you know, you can say, well, if you don't have that, what are you going to use? But there is another component that we don't use very much. And that is the idea that wisdom and the process of developing a more well-rounded understanding or consciousness can lead people into different outcomes. And here's the rub. Understanding is not a requirement in most of our society. It's not a big deal. We need to develop that as an important element. Then we will become much more spiritual rather than mundane in the approach of laws and the approach of running the whole nation. Everything will become more based upon how much we love in wise ways and how much we are willing to create a oneness, a wholeness between ourselves and others instead of separation and distance. Our present administration is the opposite. It's seeking separation and distance for reasons that only they probably even could fathom. It seems pretty crazy to me, but that's what's happening. And so we have to look at ourselves as being in this unfortunate experiment in which we're going backwards from what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be developing wholeness, consciousness, oneness, togetherness, inclusiveness with ourselves and with the world, and we're going the opposite way. We have been. In how we elect people, what we do, our management of each other, and our relationship with other countries in the world. We can make a change in that. And if we did, other people would like the United States, because, just as I said about 10 or so minutes ago, fairness is something people like, and unfairness they really hate. Well, guess what? I just talked for about the past 8 minutes about how we are very unfair as a nation. So guess what people really do about the United States right now? They hate us. I hope that doesn't surprise too many of you. But that's what's going on. We are becoming more and more hated, disliked. I'll choose other words if you don't like the word hate. Because we are unfair. And that's something that humans have a great intolerance for. Now, I'm not going to justify terrorism or some other nutty thing like that and say, well, those terrorists have a right to hate us because we're unfair. Now, they don't have a right to destroy us. They don't have a right to murder us. They don't have a right to even do half of anything they do. But they do have a right to really dislike us. In other words, their dislike of us, maybe even their hatred of us, may be justifiable. Not their methods, though. Not their ways of expression of that. I hope that makes sense. I know it makes sense to me. I don't know if it's making sense to you, all of you out there. I would hope that it is. But, you know, I think it's important for us to realize that collectively we are sharing in this issue of unfairness as a nation, and it's affecting us. There's karma coming back to us on a group or national level that is significant, because as long as we don't treat others fairly, we are going to create enemies. I'm hoping that the next administration, as well as all other elements of our government, start to become more conscious and therefore more fair, so that many nations start looking upon us as what we should be, a leading nation of virtue and light in the world. That's what I'm hoping to see. And maybe this will come about within the next few years. I don't think that it's going to happen fast enough for us not to suffer some further negative consequences. I'm not talking about a nuclear blast in your city or something like that. That could happen. But there still could be a lot of other negative things that could happen. And the thing that, remember, you pay the most for by being unfair? Remember this: lack of meaning in life. That's what all of us are suffering from at increasing levels as we become more material and less spiritual on an average. And that's what's been going on. So if your life seems to be less meaningful, then it's likely you haven't been working to be more conscious on an individual level, but also you're living within a country that is doing some of that as well, and it adds to the whole total amount. So even if you're really active, because I think I am, but you know, even if you are really active and you live here, it really hurts to live here while we seemingly are not fair in the way we're dealing with the world. For heaven's sake, let's ratify something like Kyoto and all these other things that we haven't done to encourage the world to save itself. You know, the Supreme Court a month ago said that we are responsible for the destruction of the world? Did you know that? Yeah, there was a Supreme Court ruling just about that, that the United States is participating in a worldwide destructive behavior in terms of our disregard for global warming and other related pollutant issues. That was a decree, it was a 5-4, so it was a pretty close vote, but it was still decided upon by the Supreme Court just a month ago. Amazing. Think about that, and think about everything else, and I guess I'm running out of time here, so I will, at this point, say that hopefully you will continue to listen to our show. I hope it wasn't too negative today. I know this is a tough subject about fairness and unfairness. Think more about it. Certainly email me if you would like. I will still read your email if it comes in. thoughts@mylifeis.com. Tomorrow, KXAM, the last of the broadcasted shows from Phoenix. But you can get it over the Internet by going to kxam.com. You can hear all of those shows, almost 3 years of shows, by going to agelesswisdom.com, and it'll tell you how to hear all the archives of the prior shows. And please continue to listen to this show and tell all the people you know about it. And say, hey, there's this guy talking about all kinds of things in metaphysics and spirituality on Friday evenings, right here on BBS.com radio. Okay, so until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.